Laat hy liedjie net aangaan. Be the center. Ja.
Be the wind in this earth. Be the reason that I live. Jesus, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. That's the cry of our hearts. Lord Jesus, that you be the center of everything we do here. Here, ons is nie hierso om gesiggie te wys vir iemand, sodat ons naam afgecheck kan word op 'n lys. Ons is nie hierso om kerk te speel nie. Ons is hierso om die aangesig te soek, Here. U is kosbaar vir ons. U is ons alles. Here, u is nie deel van ons lewens nie. U is ons lewe. Die weg, die waarheid en die lig, Here, dis wie U is vir ons. Ons dank U vir die teenwoordigheid van die Heilige Gees in ons midde vandag. Ons neem dit nie vanselfsprekend nie, Here, hoeveel duisende mense hulle lewens neergelê het, sodat ons vandag in vrymoedigheid die naam van Jesus kan grootmaak. Dat ons die Bybel in verskeie formate vandag het tot ons beskikking, Here. Ons kan dit in boekvorm lees, ons het dit op ons selfone oralste op die internet. Die lewendige woord van God is vrylik beskikbaar. We thank you for that, O God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you now, Lord God, that as we look at your word together, you, Holy Spirit, will speak your truth and your life to every person. Soos elkeen vir ons, hierso volgend, myself ingesluit, Heer, ons onderworp onsself onder die heerskappy van die Heilige Gees. We do not take for granted your presence in this place, Lord, where two or more or gather in your name, there you are in the midst of them. So Holy Spirit, would you work deep in the heart and minds of each person here this morning. Some people are happy, some are sad, some are full, some are empty, Lord. Some are encouraged and some are downtrodden. Lord Jesus, this is your church. It's not my church. It's not our organization. It is your church and you're the head. Would you have your way in your church this morning, Lord God? Would you meet each man, woman, and child at their point of faith and at their point of need, Lord? I pray, Lord, that nothing but your perfect will comes to pass in the life of every person. And I pray that when we hear this morning, Lord, your word will be mixed with faith in our hearts. To the praise and glory of your name, I pray that it bears fruit that changes our lives forever, Lord. And we thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. And all the people of the Most High God said, Amen. Amen. High five somebody next to you and say, God is in this place. Hallelujah. God is in this place. Amen. Amen. One of the things I love about God that is that in spite of what we feel or what we think, it doesn't change who He actually is. If your God is small, it doesn't, in your mind, it doesn't make Him small. He's still awesome. Can you say Amen? As jou God gebede nie antwoord nie, God is still a God who answers prayers. Hallelujah. He's still faithful. Regardless of what people say, non-believers say, the government, media, God is still who He says He is. I thank Him that He is who He says He is, not who we believe He is. He's beyond and above all of that. To the praise and glory of His name. Hallelujah. This week we're going to be speaking one more time about a separate topic and not just a theme. Next week, I think some people might stay away because of this, but I pray that God changes your hearts. We're going to be talking about finances in the weeks to come, not today, so don't leave now. And people say, oh yeah, daag en hulle al klaar weer oor geld preek. You know the last time I did a sermon series on finances was 3 years ago. Okay, so there's a lot of new people in this church, and what we do is, we're not going to tell you that you must give money. There's a difference between giving of your finances and worshiping with your wealth. Amen. How many of you would share that agree with me that things are kind of tough in South Africa? Well, guess what? That's not why we're going to share that with you. We have a desire that the kingdom of God really is established in your lives in every aspect of your area. How many of you would like to be at a place where your money works for you instead of you working for your money? Think about that. Think about that. So that's what we're going to start a sermon series. If you are battling die finansies klop net nie. Daai begroting werk net nie. Jy sien die uitgawes en die inkomste en dit hoe bring jy die twee bymekaar? Dit werk net nie so nie. I want to encourage you to come. But I must give you a word of warning, and I just sense even in preparing for this, God laid this on my heart to share this with you. What we're going to share is extremely, extremely, extremely serious, because if it is not applied to your life, after that you literally have no longer an excuse anymore. It's like you've been given a tool to fix something in your life, and if you don't apply it and use it in your life, jy het nie meer 'n verskoning nie. So we are accountable for what we know, and after we've gone through that series, if you do not apply that to your lives, ladies and gentlemen, then I don't know. I actually don't know, you're going to need a sovereign breakthrough and a miracle in your life. If you know somebody that's struggling financially, or just somebody that could do with financial help in their lives, I want to encourage you, please bring them and tell them, hulle gaan oor geld praat, especially if it's a first time visitor. Imagine it's a first time visitor and they come in and the pastor says, right, we're going to talk about money. It's like, ach nee man, you know, all you need to do to offend a Christian is talk about their children or money. And I'm not going to offend it, right? But we're not planning to offend anybody. We want you to be at a place where you can experience God's finances, the financial breakthrough in your life. So we're going to do a sermon series on that. Is that okay with everybody? So that we can really say, oh, bring what may in 2020. God's got a plan and His purposes are going to come to pass. But that's next week. This week, if you got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of James. James is Jesus' stepbrother. He was born to Joseph and Mary after Jesus was born. James chapter 2. It's towards the back of your Bible. You can go left from Revelation and you'll get it soon. Revelation, Jude, the Johns, the Peters, and then James, if I've got that order backwards. James chapter 2, verse 14 to 17. Good to see each and every single one of you here. If you're visiting for the first time this morning, please come and speak to me afterwards. Tell me who you are, where you're from. Tell me what you did or didn't like about the preaching. I'd love to get to know you and have a cup of coffee or tea with you. Well, I'll watch you have your cup of coffee or tea while I'll have cold water afterwards. So please, if you're visiting, please come and say hi to me. I'd love to meet you. Okay, James chapter 2, verse 14 to 17, and for our regular faithful people, God bless you and reward you richly for your faithfulness. All right, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, the second edition, and it reads as follows. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, and have a good day, stay warm, and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Other translations say, faith without works is dead. How many of you have faith this morning? And the rest, oh my soul. Lord, help us. Lord Jesus, come help us. Father, we thank you that we can read your word this morning. And as we've prayed, we thank you that we make a choice with our wills today and our intellect for you to speak into our hearts and let us apply this to our lives so we change and become more like Jesus and love you more as a result of this time that we spend with you around your table. In Jesus' name, amen. So faith without works is dead. Oftentimes people say, ek het geloof, ek het geloof, ek het geloof. Sometimes there's not much difference between us and the demons because that same passage of scripture in James says that even the demons believe and they tremble. So what's the difference between us and the demons? If they believe and do nothing about it, we also do nothing about it. So there's the story of this guy sitting in a barbershop, and the guy who's having his hair cut is an atheist. And he's sitting there and the topic of faith comes up. And the guy having his hair cut, keeping his head still while his hair's being cut, says, I don't believe there's a God. And the barber is a Christian. He says, but how come you don't believe in a God? He says, well, look outside the barber shop. Look how much pain and suffering and heartache and hurt there is. There's death and destruction. There's poverty. There's sickness. There's crime. There's violence. There's hatred. There's on. He says, because of all those things, how can there be a God if all of that is going on? Barber casually cuts the guy's hair and makes the clips with the machine. Oops. No, he doesn't. He says, oh, very interesting. And he says to the guys having his hair cut, he says, just look out the barbershop window for a while. And they're sitting by the window and he looks out and he says, see that guy across the street with a long, long hair? He says, yes. He says, I don't believe there's any barbers in the world. The guy laughs. He says, oh, that's stupid. Of course there's barbers. You then a barber. I'm having my hair cut by a barber. He says, my point exactly. Doesn't mean because there's people in the world with long hair that there's no barbers. If they want something done about their hair, they're going to have to take a step of faith and walk across the street and go into the barber shop and sit down in the chair and let the barber cut their hair short back and sides. Can you say amen? Amen. You see, I really believe that the water in this bottle can rinse my hands. I really, really believe it. I know it's going to rinse my hands. I mean, my hands are dirty and this water can clean my hands. It's going to do nothing to my hands unless I go to the water, take the water, pour it on my hands and start to wash my hands. I've got a toothbrush at home. I used to have a manual one. Then Colette bought me an Oral-B, what's it called? Vital or something. Jekyll Stickle Mensa. A klimlach alumier because that thing works. I cannot clean my teeth like that. Oral-B. I don't work for Oral-B. I don't get commission. Maar die ding werk. It's like it tingles your whole face. Like, is it nie so nie, Leonie? That's not why we use it, because I promise you it works. It just works. I got one years ago, and I don't know, maybe I was using it wrong, it's a different model, but I don't use it for that. I use it to do something with reloading now. I think it's in the garage. My hierdie ene wat ek het, hierdie ding werk. I can go to the bathroom every morning, and I can look at that toothbrush and say, I believe that Oral-B, I don't know what's it called, Vitality or something, I don't know what, can clean my teeth. But unless I physically take it, I have to do something. I have to pick up that little machine key. Ek moet daai knoppie druk en ek moet so maak. I've got to do that, else it's not going to clean my teeth. I've got to do that. It's exactly the same with the things of God. Mense, dit help nie ons sê, ons het geloof, dan doen ons niks daaromtrent nie. We have to do something about it. Faith without works most certainly is dead. And what does it help if we just look at the bar of soap and say, well, I believe this soap can clean me. This Dove, it's 40% moisturizer, keep my skin all nice and soft and supple, but I never actually use the soap. I'll always stink. I have to use the soap. I have to do something about it. Now, here's the deal. You say, I want to just throw a spanner in the works here this morning. So we must have faith. And believe what God says and what the Word says, the promises in the Scripture. But the Bible says that we are saved By grace through faith and not of works. It goes on to say, Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, it says, God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. So on one side, the scripture is saying that faith without works is dead. You've got to do something. And on the other side in the Bible, it says, we saved by faith. We saved by grace through faith and not of works. So what do I do then? Do I believe and works? How does it all fit together? Well, we're going to look at that this morning. We are saved by grace through faith and not of works, so that no man can boast. I love the way it puts it in the NLT. It says, salvation is not a reward for the good things you have done. Ek verdien om naar de hemel toe te gaan, want ek het so en so en so gedoen toe ek hier so geleef het. Nee, julle, dit werk nie so nie. There has to be works of faith. There has to be works of faith. If we say we believe, there must be fruit in our lives. If we're walking the Christian walk, ladies and gentlemen, fruit is everything. Hoe bepaal jy of 'n persoon werklik waar 'n kind van die Here is? Wel, hy gaan gereeld kerk toe. Hy dra 'n badge wat sê hemelbestormer. Hy het 'n hangertjie om die nek met 'n kruisietjie op. As jy hom groet en jy vra hoe gaan dit, hy sê hallelujah. Hallelujah, prys die Here. Dit moet 'n kind van die Here wees. Mense word beskryf, ooh, daai ou is 'n groot Christen. I'm already disqualified. I mean, look at me. I'll never be a groot Christen. Wat op aarde is 'n groot Christen? Somebody please tell me. Jy kry 'n paar groot Christene, hoor. But how do you tell whether a person is a Christian? Ladies and gentlemen, in this walk of faith, when it comes to Christianity, fruit is everything. You can go to somebody's house and there can be a tree in the garden. And on the tree it says, this is an apricot tree with a big sign and another sign. You can put a light on it that shines at night. There can be music in the background that says, look at this apricot tree. But if there's apples on that tree, what kind of tree is it? So, if I'm walking around telling everybody I am a Christian, but in my life, you see the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes and the pride of life, and all the fruit of the flesh, as we see in Galatians chapter 5, all of those things. If we see that, what am I actually? What am I actually? You see, when it comes to judging Christianity, fruit is everything. It is everything. What is the fruit that should be evident in our lives? The fruit of the Spirit. Also, Galatians 5. Love. Let's just start there. Phew. How many of us are disqualified? Some are there. We have like we have selective hearing, selective love. I smock you because you smock me, and you know you're okay, and you no ways. You like just scrape you off. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness. Not goodness me. Gentleness. Faithfulness, long-suffering, self-control. Those things. There's 9 fruit of the Spirit. Those are the things, the fruit that should be evident in our lives, not the other stuff. So, ladies and gentlemen, if we're talking about faith, there has to be fruit in our lives. And as a Christian, there must be works of faith. There has to be. Fruit is everything. When it comes to living a life of repentance and walking a life of repentance, you see, repentance is not crying about the sin. Repentance is not being sorry that you got caught. That's just, I don't even know if that's remorse. That's just regret. I regret that they caught me. Repentance is where you turn around and choose to walk in the opposite direction, away from the thing that you know displeases the Lord. That's repentance. There must be works that show that. If I say, you know, I've repented of those things. Confession of sin is where I say, yes, it's a sin, and I know, Lord, I've sinned against you, and it is wrong. That's confession. I've confessed. I've spoken it. I've said it. Repentance, where I say, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to do that. I want to do it God's way. And you start going in the opposite direction. That's repentance. In Matthew 3 and verse 8, it says, therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. If you say, ek het my hart vir die Here gegee, jy moet daarom nog steeds die res van jou lewe ook gee, sodat die vrug sigbaar sal word en beginne word. You can start to see the fruit in your life. Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Okay? It says, prove by the way that you live that you've repented of your sins and turned to God. Prove by the way that you live that you've repented of your sins and turned to God. How many of you, don't raise your hands, have made a New Year's resolution? If you manage to want to make one of those, please let me know. I know how to make a New Year's resolution. Tomorrow, there's not too much nachtmaal wijn here. That is not vandaag. It's just a slip of the tongue. You've made a New Year's resolution. Hold on. I believe that this water will help me speak better. Een nuwejaars voorneme. Makliker, nee. Suiwer taal, halleluja. Een nuwejaars voorneme dat jy meer iets goddeliks gaan doen. Jy gaan meer lees, jy gaan meer bid, jy gaan getuig, jy gaan getel. Jy gaan tel. Let me just go back to my home language too. You make a New Year's resolution to be more godly. Guys, there must be fruit of that in your life, or else you've just made an empty promise and you're going to feel disappointed in yourself. And what you're doing, you're giving ammo to the enemy, the accuser of the brethren, who's the devil, to accuse you. Jy sien, jy sal weer 'n jaar broer. Jy het gesê jy gaan die, jy gaan daai, jy gaan dit en jy het nie. Nou wat nou? Jy sleg. You're not good enough. You're giving him ammo to accuse you. But if there's fruit in your life, if there's a change, you make a change in, ewe skielik, die mense by die werk, hulle begin praat in jou afwesig en sê, hey, what's going with our Kusik? And you notice he's happier. He's not so nors and brommerig anymore. And, you know, he actually smiles and he actually greets you back. There's something about him. They start noticing a change. Linnea, is that true? What you went through, what LTS and your daughter started noticing change in your life and said, that's at home. That's where Christianity really counts, at home. That's where it counts. Behind closed doors. It's easy to come here and talk Christianese and put on this Christian face. Maar maandag tot saterdag, broer, dan leef jy, nee, like the seed of Satan. It's easy. There must be change. There must be fruits befitting repentance. In Acts 26 and verse 28, Acts 26:20, the B part, it says, all must repent of their sins and turn to God and prove they have changed by the good things they do. Believing alone is not enough. Doing what you say you believe in causes change and growth. Folks, I've said this before. Even myself, if I'm not changed and challenged, if I don't preach my sermons, if I don't preach the sermons that God lays on my heart to myself, why do I do it? Okay, besides everybody else's benefit. If I'm not being changed by this word of God that I prepare and meditate on and sleep over and pray about and study and cross, if I'm not changed by that, why are we doing it? If we're coming to church and we're just coming Sunday after Sunday and just doing the thing, maar, because maybe there's a kind, by die huis wat jou pla. Ek wil kyk, you still dossing much better. Sunday morning, hulle is wakker, bel. En dan sleep hulle, ek wil kerk toe gaan. Maybe just because the kid is dragging you, why are you coming? If you're not changing by coming to church, why are you coming to church? Does it sound like I'm trying to fill this place with people? You must be changing, ladies and gentlemen. You must be applying what you hear to your life so there's change in your life. And here's the deal. You take let's go back to that apple tree. It's an apple tree. I take that apple seed and I plant it in the ground. And I wake up the next morning and there's this tree full of fruit, right? No. Weeks go by and there's nothing. You never skillet. There's something small that sticks out of the ground. There's change. There's something new on the horizon. It's weak and it's vulnerable, but it's changed. There's something happening. People think that nothing happens to plant life during the winter. Lots happens. The roots go deeper and get stronger. In most cases, not all cases. And that's what happens. That has to grow, and then it grows a little bit taller, and a season comes, and then somebody comes and prunes the apple tree and trims it. It's like, hey, no, oh, 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 yeah, and then it grows stronger and stronger and stronger. I don't know much about that stuff. God kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden, and I have no intentions of going back. But people who prune the trees and all stuff will tell you that there's a reason for doing all of that stuff. And that's what happens. Little bit by little bit, there's change. And never underestimate, you know, when you're ministering to people, none of your labor in the Lord is in vain, the scripture says, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Don't get tired of doing that, because if it's done with a heart and a motive of love, it's going to bring about a change in that person's life. I mean, remember the first time you heard that Jesus died, the first time you ever heard of it, you immediately accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you gave your life to the Lord, and you became a Christian there on the spot, right? No. Ons moes gehoor het en gehoor het. The seed was planted, and you got to a point where eventually you decided, yes, Lord, I want this for my life. So believing alone is not enough. Doing what you say you believe in causes change and growth. So, you know, how do we go about pleasing God then? Hebrews 11 and verse 6. And it's impossible to please God without faith. So, but the good news is, ladies and gentlemen, I don't have to go to the faith store. I don't have to go and get a packet of faith and drink it three times a day to get faith. God, the scripture says, God has given to each man, the New King James says, the measure of faith. Some translations say a measure. I don't really like that, because then it means that Niels has been given more. Where's Niels? Everything. Niels has been given more faith than me, because his measure of it, I like it, it says the measure. Be given the measure of faith. God has given us that faith. Isn't it wonderful? He gives you that faith. That means I have to, with my mind, make a decision, tuck into the Word of God, get it for myself, apply it to my life before change starts to happen. So Hebrews 11:6, it says, and it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists. I can't go and say, oh, well, okay, let me just see for myself. I'm not really convinced, and I'm not really sure. Let's just see if this whole Christian stuff is going to work. And the promise, do you think you're going to get to see much fruit in your life for that? No. No. Must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. So when you come to God, you must believe that He exists, and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. I did a memorial service on Tuesday, I think it was, and I had an opportunity to speak to a guy. According to him, it was the first time ever he was in a church. And he loved it, because he got hold of the microphone and spoke and shared something about a loved one and that had passed on. And I had an opportunity to speak to this man afterwards, and He asked, you know, how does he find God, and how does he find that which other people talk about? And, you know, he's heard this, and his folks have told him that. He's an elderly man. And I said, sir, the best thing you can do is to seek God for yourself. Don't try and find Him in other people, because the scripture promises that if you seek for Him with all your heart, you will find Him. And when it comes to seeking God, seek Him with all your heart, with faith, believing, and you will find God. It's the same thing when I read the scripture. If I read the scripture with eyes of skepticism and doubt, all I'm going to see is skepticism and doubt. In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 9, it says, my words are plain to anyone with understanding and clear to those who want to learn. Think about that. My words are plain to anyone with understanding and clear to those who want to learn. So if I want to learn and if I want to change, when I read the Bible, it's going to be so, so different. When I just read it, ach, well, ek maar 'n minuut voor die tek nou in die kar moet klim en werk toe gaan, let me just do my daily devotion here and I'm out of here. That's it. No. If I if I want to change, say, Lord, change me. Here I am. Change me, Lord. When I read the Word, it's going to make a difference in my life. That's what the Word of God does. So the Word of God will change us if we want to learn from it. It's plain to everyone with understanding and clear to those who want to learn. If I'm trusting God to keep me healthy and heal me, I have to look after my body. I can't drink diesel and expect to be healthy. That's a stupid example, Mark. You know, I can't keep pumping death into my body and expect that I'm going to reap life. If I'm trusting God to keep me healthy and heal me, I have to look after my body. Can you say amen? If I'm trusting God to grow, I have to take the seeds of the Word of God and plant it in my life. Get the Word of God in my head and in my heart. And then I will start to grow. It's not just going to happen. If I'm trusting God for financial breakthrough, I'm going to have to honor God with my finances. I'm going to have to return to Him what is rightfully His. I'm going to have to apply scriptural principles to my life. Honest as ek soos daai ou wat nooit na die barbershop toe gaan nie. Hy staar hom blind in die water. He just looks at the toothbrush and looks at the soap and thinks that he's going to be hygienically clean. Dit gaan nie werk nie. If I'm trusting God for healthy relationships, I must learn and strive to live with love and understanding for other people. I don't know who it was that said it, but it's somebody famous, and now I'd like to say, seek not so much to be understood as to understand. Yeah, but people just don't get me. That's okay. Just try getting others and then see. Maybe others will then get you. If I'm trusting God for healthy relationships, I must learn and strive to live with love and respect for others. If I'm trusting God for forgiveness, I must learn to forgive others. The challenging thing with forgiveness is that everybody thinks it's a wonderful idea till we need to forgive somebody. It's difficult, ne? With just a little bit of help on this, a little bit off the topic, when it comes to forgiveness, guys, the thing that has helped me the most, I just admit to God. I say, God, first I can't and I don't want to. I don't want to forgive. I'm angry. And I'm enjoying being angry, and I want to stay cross. I'm angry. I can't forgive, God, and I don't want to. Lord, please help me. I quickly admit, say, God, I don't know how, I can't, and I don't want to. Please help me, Lord. When the Holy Spirit reminds you of the things that God has forgiven you of, it becomes easier sometimes to forgive others. So if I'm trusting God for change, I must let change start within me first. So, but back to the works thing, faith and works. Our, listen carefully to the words we're choosing this morning, folks. Our best deeds don't please God. Dan wonder jy, okay, Mosie, hoe doen ek dit dan? Because I do my best. Dis dan nog steeds nie goed genoeg nie. Wat moet ek nou doen? If your best deeds are not good enough, what now? Where do we get that from? Isaiah 64 and verse 6, it says, we are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall, and our sins sweep us away like the winds. Our best deeds. But there's a difference. It's our best deeds that don't please God. So what do works of faith look like? This message is called, the title is Works of Faith. What does that look like? Works of faith. What does it look like? Our best deeds is within myself, my own effort, without understanding a promise of the Scripture, what God says, and looking forward to what the Scripture says will happen in my life if I apply this. It's me coming along and trying to do something in my own strength. It's our best deeds, my best effort. That's not pleasing in God's sight. A work of faith is, jy word blootgestel aan 'n skriftelike beginsel, some scriptural principle, and you say, you know what, I'm gonna dare to trust God for this. I'm gonna choose to believe God in this area. I'm gonna apply this to my life. I'm gonna act in this way. I'm gonna speak in this way. I'm gonna think in this way. And then you do that, saying, expecting a harvest. and expecting to see God bring about the change in your life. That's the difference. There's a difference between our righteous deeds and righteous deeds done in faith. I'll say that again. There's a difference between our righteous deeds as opposed to righteous deeds done in faith. So what do the works of faith look like? What work of faith is God calling you to do today? Think about that. What work of faith has God called you to do in 2019? You know, 2019, it feels to me like it was like 12 days ago, eh? It was 2019. Well, if you're expecting God for breakthrough in this year, don't expect it until you've done the last thing that God has told you to do. Maybe you're at a place where you're praying and you're praying and you're saying to yourself, but God is just not answering me, okay? Wat het jy daaromtrent gedoen aangaande dit wat hy laas al vir jou gesê het om te doen? You see, God is a builder. He's systematic and apostolic in his approach. There's a process. What have you done about what he last told you to do? So in your life, my brother, my sister, as we close, what's the next work of faith that God is calling you to do? You're sitting here and you're trusting God, you're believing God for something. Practically, what are you going to do about it? On my left-hand side, your right-hand side, depending on how and where you're sitting, there's a sign above the door where Madeleine is leaving right now. And it says, be the change you want to see. How many of you have never seen that before? Be honest with me. Good. Okay. Bless you for your honesty, Gabi. But be the change you want to see. You want change to take place in your life. What work of faith is God calling you to do now? Where you seated. I want you to commit that to the Lord. If it's something that you know that the Lord has laid on your heart to bring about that change in your life, submit it to the Lord this morning. Say, Lord, maybe I just need to exercise a little bit more patience. Maybe I need to just exercise a little bit more love and compassion towards other people. Lord, maybe there's somebody that I really, really need to forgive. And Mozzie said this morning, God, I don't want to. It still hurts. That person's a real muhu. And I don't want to forgive them, Lord. Lift that up to the Lord. So, Lord, help me with that. Maybe there's a change you need to make at work. I don't know, a change at home, something. Something you need to do, start looking after yourself or reading the Bible more, or telling somebody about Jesus for the first time. You don't have to get all teachy and preachy and slam the kop with the Bible, but just say, you know what, this is how my life was before Jesus. This is what's happened. This is Niels. I love what Niels says. He says, I can't read the Bible. Nie. He'll be the first to admit it, but he says, maar kan jy vertel wat die Here gedoen het in my lewe? There's a big, big difference. So what is the area, the work of faith that God is calling you to do this morning? Would you close your eyes as we pray together? Holy Spirit, as you search our hearts, let the spotlight and the bright shining light of your word come and shine into our lives this morning. Lord, as you examine us, show us the real condition of our hearts. Show us areas of our lives where we really need a change, and areas where we've believed you and not yet taken that step of faith and done something about it. Lord, I submit that area of my life to you right now. As I pray with my Christian brothers and sisters this morning, Lord, I pray that, thank you, that I'll start to see the fruit in my life, the change, Lord, that brings about growth in my life. And forgive me, Lord, for om wat ek so heeltyd uitstel en uitstel en uitstel en sê ja, ek gaan dit môre doen of volgende week of volgende maand. Forgive me for procrastinating, Lord, and I'm not making this promise to impress anybody, Lord. I do this as unto you. Lord, as men and women pray this prayer, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would strengthen us and enable us, Lord God, to walk this walk in the name of Jesus Christ. Anoint us, Lord God, to stick to our promises and to be, Lord, I pray a sensitivity for each person to be able to hear and to know when you're speaking. Lord, it's a desk desperate cry of some. They're saying, ja, Mosie, maar ek hoor nie die Here se stem nie. Ek weet nie wanneer die Here met my praat nie. Ek weet nie of dit myself is, die duivel, whatever, Here. And you want to recognize God's voice, I pray for you this morning that God will give you discernment to hear. I just pray John 10, 27 over you, where Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. I pray that you clearly hear, beyond any shadow of a doubt, the voice of God in your life. That you recognize the ways that God speaks to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with us one more time? I'd like us to sing that song again, Jesus Be the Center. It just touched my heart this morning. Thank you for visiting with us this morning. If you're a visitor here, please come say hi to me outside before you go. I'd love to meet you. Till such time, bless you guys. May Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God make His face shine upon you, be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you His supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. We love you dearly. Have an awesome week and see you same time, same place next week. Thank you. Let's sing that song one more time.